True Crime Society podcast contains adult themes and violence and is not intended for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised. And if you'd like to skip the intro or move to any specific part of the podcast, please refer to the timestamps listed in the episode description. Thank you. What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the True Crime Society podcast with Stephanie and Olivia. It is Halloween currently, which is October 31st here. It is 7 p.m.
2024. Don't forget that.
2024, yes. 2024. I'm sorry if my microphone or if my audio sounds kind of off. We think there's something wrong with my microphone, so I have to buy a new one. But we just found this out, and I'm not a person with many microphones, so we're just going to do our best here. I know. I should have many. I should be prepared. But yeah, I will order a new one, and it'll be fixed going forward, and I'll run this through AI or something to make sure it sounds as great as it can. But you don't have to leave us a bunch of comments or messages telling us it sounds like shit, because I know, and I want to die inside, because I'm like... so yeah, it's Halloween. Baby nephew just came over for his first trick-or-treat. I was his first trick-or-treat experience. He is 6 months old now, so that was really exciting. And he was also my first trick-or-treater, which is cute because, like, my first trick-or-treater ever, not just at the house, like at the apartment, I didn't have trick-or-treaters, so that was cute. He was a little lion.
Yeah, so I feel like we've recorded about Halloween differences in the past, but Halloween is not so much of a thing here. A lot of people are actually really against it because they're like, it's not an Australian thing, you know, we don't want to do it. But in saying that, over the last few years, I feel like it's been getting bigger and bigger. My youngest daughter went trick-or-treating last night, but even though I've just said it's getting bigger and bigger, I feel like this year it was a lot more scaled back. I don't know if it's like the cost of living, and like candy and chocolate is so expensive. So I don't know if that's why people just aren't as into it this year. They don't have as much money to spare to give out lollies to kids they don't know. I don't know, but which I get. I totally get it. So yeah, she said it was a little bit more scaled back this year. Where I live, we also don't get any trick-or-treaters. Like, you can post on the neighborhood group if you want to participate, but because where I live is rural-ish, you'd have to drive to the houses, so it's just not really a thing where I live, which is a bit sad. I said to the kids, maybe next year we'll do it and like tell everyone that they can come to our, everyone in the neighborhood, they can come to our house. But anyway, yeah, so pretty quiet. It's just, it's not really a massive thing here. We miss out on a lot. We don't get Thanksgiving. We don't get a Halloween. I feel like Easter is bigger here. Christmas is big, but yeah, we don't get
you
a lot
get the,
of holidays.
The king/queen's birthday.
The king's birthday
or
now.
Whatever. I definitely want to do a better job with Halloween and decorations and all that next year, but it's my first year. I'm still learning. I feel a little more prepared for Christmas, so.
Tomorrow, all the Halloween stuff is going to be on sale, so stock up for next year tomorrow.
Yeah. We also did just want to briefly talk about before we get into it. I don't think we talked about it on here, but Spotify turned its comments on for all the podcasts. I'm not sure if you guys have noticed that, but if you go to like an episode now for most podcasts, I think all of them, because I don't think you really have a choice, there's going to be comments there now as if it's social media. Pretty much before last week, most podcasts had it shut off because we said it was an easy way to just get insulted. So Olivia was very brave and went through all of the comments that I had backed up because I got too scared to check them. And she actually said a ton of them. There was way more nice ones than not nice ones. So that is awesome. And I feel way better. Good reminder to not let imposter syndrome get the best of you.
And even when you say way more, like I would estimate probably 90% of the comments were either like chatty about the case or positive, like I really enjoyed this episode, those type of things. The bad feedback or negative feedback we get is about the chat. Some people love the chat, some people don't. We get it. So what we do now, and we have done it for probably a year at least, is we put the timestamps in. So especially on Spotify, you can literally, if you want to skip the chat, it'll say click here and go to the case. So you can skip it all. It's literally a 1 second process. But even still today, we're still getting comments. We're like, I went on and had a look today and there was some nice comments. And there was one comment about, just shut up, I don't want to hear about Taylor Swift, stop the chat. So I now the one good thing is, so there is also one thing that Spotify has done is they've got a Spotify for Podcasters app, which is very easy to use. So it's a lot quicker for us to be able to action the comments and respond to them. So I wrote back to that person and said, look, you can just check the timestamp. You know, I feel like a lot of people maybe don't read the show notes, which is why they miss the
timestamp.
I think it
sounds better now because we've been more aggressive about it and I have in the disclaimer now. Whereas some of the ones we're talking about are probably like right on the cusp of where we became more aggressive about being like, there's a timestamp. So it doesn't seem as bad maybe with newer episodes, but I mean, it's always going to be a thing. I think it is what it is.
Exactly. So anyway, if you are new to the podcast and you're like, when are they ever going to shut up? Check the timestamps every week. You can click and go exactly where you want to go. And sometimes we'll give case updates. So like, you know, for example, we'll say update on John Doe at 10 minutes. The actual case we're discussing today starts at 12 or 13 minutes or whatever. So you can go exactly where you want, depending on how you want to use your time.
Yeah. And another good thing that Spotify did, which you just kind of mentioned, is now we can actually respond to people, whereas before we couldn't. And like on Apple Podcast reviews and all that, you can't respond or anything like that, as far as I'm aware. So it's nice to be able to respond. And not that we have to like defend ourselves often, but sometimes it would have been nice to in the past. And it's also fun when people, there's so many funny comments, like you guys have me cracking up. I love it. So keep leaving us nice, funny comments because they really make our day.
And one other thing too that is really helpful, I said at the start this time, is to please follow us on Spotify if that's where you listen, or follow us on any pod, like, you know, there's Overcast, there's a whole bunch of other podcast players. So if you could follow or subscribe wherever you listen, that is a very big help to us.
Okay, let's get into the case of the day. We're going to be talking about missing person. I feel like we haven't done a missing person for a while, but I also have a horrible memory. We did a few missing international-ish ones or like weird ones, but not just like a standard old-fashioned someone walked away and they're gone.
Yeah, like we have done them in the past. Like even I was saying today, Tyler Goodrich is one that's still unsolved. He went missing, I think, off the top of my head in November 2023.
That reminds me of the other Tyler, Dave.
Yeah, Tyler Davis. Tyler, he's also still missing. I'm just going through. I guess we did Abigail Bernstein. She's missing. It's been a while since we've had.
Those were weird ones.
And I feel like often too with missing people, because our episodes are generally around an hour long, sometimes a little less, sometimes a little more. So we know the amount of information that we need to have to cover a case. And sometimes missing people just do not have that much information. But this, there is a lot out there. And it's still like, it's obviously a very current case. It's nearly 2 months old. The person is still missing. But even now, there's still articles. It's one that there is a lot if you want to do an even deeper dive into after listening.
Yeah. There's a lot of interesting characters and side stories for sure.
Yeah.
We're going to be talking about Tyler Weathersby, who's 31 years old. And he left his home in Sioux Falls, South Dakota on September 4th, 2024. And he was just going for a walk and he hasn't been seen since. He also didn't have his phone, keys, or wallet with him. So, you know, someone's planning to go off for a while, you'd think they'd have those things with them. But there's another interesting side story to this, is that Tyler's wife, who's named Mona Lisa, was actually in jail in 2018 for shooting her previous husband to death in an online prank gone wrong. So it's another strange incident related to this case, but we'll get into that more as we go on.
And one thing I want to add too is Tyler's name is Tyler Weathersby, but he's referred to a lot of the time as Tyler Blake. So that's his like social media name is Tyler Blake. And so if you see, I'm guessing so. But if you see articles that refer to him as that, that is also the name he goes by. But I believe his full legal name is Tyler Weathersby.
Sioux Falls police say nothing's been ruled out when it comes to 31-year-old Tyler Weathersby's disappearance. He was last seen last week wearing a white shirt, black shorts, and a tan beanie when he left to go for a walk.
We're coordinating drone searches on some of the last areas that the individual was seen, either by us on camera somewhere or been reported to us.
Community members are also on the lookout. A Facebook group launched shortly after Weathersby's disappearance now has more than 6,000 members, hoping to bring him home safely.
In my career, I've never seen so much public interest in a case when it comes to Mr. Weathersby.
But police are still looking for any leads that point to where Weathersby could be.
We as law enforcement can make no assumptions. We just know that he's missing, his family has reported him missing, and we have to look for steps or action or evidence that allows us to go down the right road to make sure that we can find Mr. Weathersby.
Chief Toom goes on to add they must deal with the information in front of them and what they can prove to make the right decisions in their investigation.
A little bit of background about him before he gets into disappearance. His mother, Janine Weathersby Harris, she's spoken to the media about him, and she said that he was shy, but he was inquisitive. Tyler was very introverted in the beginning. He became extroverted as he got older. She also said that Tyler is one of the most compassionate and loving of her four children. He didn't have a problem expressing how much he loved his family. Tyler always told me, "Mama, I love you," in his text messages. I raised four children that are like that. That's the common thread in our family, is a whole lot of love and affection. She also said that Tyler and Greg were like two peas in a pod. They were so close. So Greg is Tyler's older brother, and he will be mentioned throughout the story as well. He also did an interview with Dateline. He said Tyler is a creator. He was the one that pushed me, that shot all my music videos, took all of my pictures. Gregory said that Tyler has a knack for marketing. He made us bigger, you know, like he put us on a bigger platform and really put us out in front of the people. If you're wondering what he's referring to, as teenagers, Tyler and his brother, they got involved in dance. And from there, they started their own performance group. And his brother said about that, "We got signed to a talent agency in LA. Then me and Tyler started doing music together." So we started a brand called Millions United, started a clothing brand. We got into music. We toured about two or three times. But eventually Tyler told his brother that he wanted to branch off and do his own thing. And Gregory said that he was fine with that.
Just to add to, I've linked to all of Tyler's social media on the blog. He does have a fairly big following. Like, one of their businesses is called Streetwear of Roses. They've got 84,000 followers. Tyler himself has nearly 6,000 followers. So he does have a fairly large online presence over the years.
So Tyler then moved to South Dakota in the mid-2010s, and he met a woman there named Mona Lisa Perez. Mona Lisa, as I mentioned, also has a big story to tell. In 2017, she fatally shot her first husband, Pedro Ruiz III, who was 22 at the time, during a YouTube prank. That obviously went wrong. Mona Lisa, she can be considered a bit of an influencer herself. She has around 7,000 followers on Instagram and a similar amount on Facebook.
Their YouTube account has been taken down, so I couldn't see how many followers they had, but she seems to have been quite well known on YouTube at the time too, because a lot of people are familiar with this part of the story and what happened to her.
Yeah, I'm sure it was a lot of news and like clickbait news.
Yeah.
When that happened, because it's a crazy story. So at the time of the shooting, Mona Lisa was 19. She and Pedro had a 3-year-old daughter, and she was pregnant. She said that Pedro wanted to make a prank YouTube video where she shot a book that he was holding in front of his chest, thinking that the bullet would be stopped by the book because they'd be using a very thick book. They'd done other pranks that they posted online in the past, like in one, Mona Lisa gave Pedro a sandwich filled with hot peppers, which seems like a big jump to go from secret hot peppers to shooting someone in the chest. But
thing I'm going to be showing you guys on my channel, you guys are going to be saying, "Damn it, boy."
For more than a month, Mona Lisa Perez said her boyfriend had been begging her to launch his YouTube channel with a bang.
"So, babe, let's go ahead and show them what we have in store for our first video."
On June 26th last year, she says she finally gave in. Perez told investigators that Pedro Ruiz had showed her a book before where a bullet didn't fully pierce a hardcover book.
"I'm just not going to just set it and just shoot it. No, I'm going to stand behind it. And Mona Lisa is going to shoot it."
For 15 minutes, the camera first captures his rambling plans.
Every week, I'm going to be bringing you guys new videos, crazy videos.
Before he shows off what's been billed as the world's most powerful handgun.
This is a 50 caliber Desert Eagle.
19-year-old Perez is 7 months pregnant with their second child. While the Norman County attorney denied releasing video of the single shot that killed Ruiz, calling it offensive to common sensibilities, a transcript of the audio reveals her hesitation. Babe, I'm not doing this. I can't. If I kill you, what's going to happen to my life? Like, no, this isn't okay. As long as you hit the book, you'll be fine, Ruiz says. These pictures show she did, standing an arm's length away. A young man craving fame, who got it, for all the wrong reasons.
I may fail, but if I fail, I want to die trying.
The bullet went through the book and into Pedro's chest, and he died before he could be airlifted for medical treatment. Mona Lisa told police that Pedro thought the prank would work because he had shot through a different book and it stopped the bullet.
No, one thing I do find interesting is, so her Twitter account or X account now is still up, and basically the last tweet that she made on it, it says, "Me and Pedro are probably going to shoot one of the most dangerous videos ever. His idea, not mine." So probably lucky that she posted that, because, like, and obviously this was all caught on video, you know, there's no doubt as to what actually happened.
I'll post clips from the video so you can see what the vibe was like. I think it's pretty obvious she didn't really want to do it or was kind of afraid, and he definitely convinces her, and it does seem very much like his plan. He's talking about it. I don't think it was like she had this secret plan to murder him or something like that.
No.
So Mona Lisa at one point faced up to 10 years in prison for Pedro's death. She ended up pleading guilty to second-degree manslaughter, and her sentence was 180 days in jail. As part of the plea agreement, she was allowed to serve her jail time in her home state of South Dakota in 10-day increments.
That's wild.
I know, it's interesting. She was banned for life for owning firearms or collecting payments for her stories. Yeah, interesting jail sentence. I mean, I don't know. I think it's because she was being pressured into it by him. She just kind of, in the video, seems like dumb and naive.
Yeah.
So after Pedro died, Tyler sent Mona Lisa a message on social media. This is on July 11, 2017. He messaged her and said, was heartbroken for you when I found out what happened. I can't imagine what you're feeling and experiencing right now. It really saddens me. Doesn't matter whatever happened to us in the past. As a friend from the bottom of my heart, I care for you, your daughter, and your son. You've been on my mind, and I didn't think I'd ever be able to reach you again. Living with knowing I'd probably never be able to show my support hurt me. I don't know if you'll ever see this, but I do care for you. I'm praying for you, and I love you. I guess they did know each other.
Yeah, it sounds like they do. Like, I haven't really seen any background on this, but it sounds like it's kind of weird too, because she was so young, but she'd obviously been with Pedro for years because they had a baby. But
and he didn't live in the same state originally, no. Right?
But from this text, it does sound like they did know each other.
I don't know if you'll ever see this, but I care for you. I'm praying for you, and I love you. Please have strength during these hard times. I'm truly heartbroken for you, but I just want you to know, as long as you're breathing, carry on. Make the best of your life, no matter the situation. Continue to experience this life. Learn and live for the growth of your soul. We're all here for a purpose. Some different than others. We don't understand why things happen the way they do sometimes, but God within has a different plan for each and every one of us. Please keep strong, keep your head up, and then it kind of cuts off. I'd be annoyed if someone messaged me this, for one.
And it's interesting too, because Pedro died June 26th. This message is July 11th, so it's very soon after he died.
Again, we don't know what their relationship was like, but if someone messaged me this unsolicited life advice at a time like this, for me personally, I'd be like, go away.
Yeah.
So after that message, the two, they continued to talk and became better friends. Mona Lisa said they helped each other get through tough times. Said, I was helping him through his darkness and he was helping me. There'd be days where we're like, we just text each other like, come on, get up, you got this, keep going, you know? The two started dating and became business partners. They started a company called Wake. She said, "We just have always helped each other grow and evolve into the people that we are today. We were both into fashion. It was a streetwear clothing brand."
We saw some effects.
Tyler Weathersby is an art school graduate from Chicago. We last spoke with him 3 years ago about his online clothing brand, Wake. He and his then-fiance, Mona Lisa Perez, launched the company shortly before the COVID-19 pandemic.
I would say 2020, through all the chaos, there was some blessings, and we were able to pivot and find, you know, some good moments during the time.
Our vision with Wake is to be a global brand within the next 2 to 5 years.
Their use of social media helped them find success early on in their business.
We just decided to double down on our online content, do more live videos through Facebook, Instagram, really connect with people more on a personal level.
Now Perez and members of the Sioux Falls community are hoping social media will do the same when it comes to connecting with them with answers about Weatherby's recent disappearance. He hasn't been heard from since last week, but many people are sharing possible sightings of him.
We've done different tools to look for him. We're still working on that, but haven't had any luck finding him at this point.
Many people online are still hopeful, just like Perez and Weathersby were when they started their business.
I feel like we have a really good community here in Sioux Falls within Wake, and we want to expand that.
Now, even 3 years later, that really good Sioux Falls community is coming together to help find Weathersby.
So they would do like pop-up shops and events like fashion shows, and they would also engage in a topic that they both felt strongly about at these shows and pop-up events they do, which is mental health. Mona Lisa talked about that, saying, "With Wake, it's all about knowing yourself and loving who you are." The business transitioned over the years to become a creative agency. The focus of the company was to help other brands with marketing and PR. Mona Lisa and Tyler got married in 2021, and Tyler became father to Mona Lisa's 2 children. She said he's an amazing person. He's an amazing husband, father, friend, and businessman. The 2 gave birth to their own daughter in March 2024. The couple gave birth to a daughter of their own in March 2024. So now we'll get into some stuff leading up to the disappearance and getting into the disappearance. So his mother, Janine, spoke about what Tyler was up to around the time he disappeared. She said that Tyler exercises every single day. He's very much into clean eating, intermittent fasting, things like that. Mona Lisa stated that he struggled with depression and mental health. He used to take daily walks, sometimes multiple times a day, to revamp and rejuvenate. And he would often use them to meditate and clear his mind. In the days leading up to his disappearance, Tyler's mother came to stay with them. She arrived on August 26th and was planning to stay until September 4th. So Mona Lisa does have a post about that. She has him tagged. It says, "Family things. Last few days have been love, peace, and connection. My beautiful mother-in-law has been in town staying with us, meeting her first grandbaby for the first time. It has been pure joy, y'all. We're not ready for her to leave us this week, but for now, we will continue to soak this all in and enjoy. Wishing everyone a beautiful day." And there's just some pictures from the weekend. Looks like typical family outing photos, brunch. So on September 3rd, Tyler and his mother got into an argument. His mother, Janine, talked about it to Dateline. She said, "Everything about Tyler was good up until the 3rd. It was out of character for him. We've never had an argument. We've never exchanged words." I haven't seen anything about like what the argument was actually really about, though.
I've asked online too, like in our group, there's a discussion and no one really seems to know what it was about. I don't know, like people, the comments were like along the lines of, "I'd really like to know too." They definitely haven't publicized what the argument was about, but it sounds like it was a big one.
Yeah, it's just interesting. Not that it's anyone's business, I guess, but you'd think if it was something like dumb and out of character, you'd say that, unless it's something more personal. So curious. So after the argument, Tyler was so mad that he drove his mother to the airport that night, Tuesday, September 3rd, even though her flight wasn't until the next day. Janine, the mother, she called Gregory, the brother, tell him what happened, and he booked Janine into a hotel for the night. He tried to call Tyler to find out what was going on. Gregory said Tyler didn't sound right. It didn't sound like Tyler was Tyler and how he normally talks. It was like he was speaking in circles and wouldn't really explain what happened. Mona Lisa agreed that his behavior was off that day. She said, "The stuff he was saying was extremely not like him. It was really, really odd." She said that Tyler was so upset after he dropped his mother off to the airport that he barely got any sleep that night. When Mona Lisa woke up on September 4th, Tyler had already gone for his walk, and she was about to leave to take the kids to school when he got home. She said, "We all go into the garage, including Ty, and we get the kids in the car. We give him a kiss. We all say, 'Love you, bye.' And then he goes on his second walk while we're driving out of the driveway." But it's like, is it really kind of the second walk when she's like, oh, he got home as she was about to put the kids in the car? So it's like, how long could that have taken? As she's about to put the kids in the car, she puts them in the car, and then he goes for a second walk. Like, he couldn't have been home for more than half hour, 20 minutes, maybe.
I know, it's very strange. And also, like, as a parent, I with three, like, these people have three kids. I just don't even know how he had the time to go for multiple long, long walks each day. Like, yeah, I don't know. That was my observation.
Yeah, seems a little strange. So by the time Mona Lisa got back, Tyler was still not back, but she said that wasn't really unusual. So sometimes he's out meditating and he's gone for an hour and a half, 2 hours. By 10:30 a.m., Mona Lisa started to worry, especially as Tyler did not have his phone with him. He said, "That's when I called my mom. I called my sister. I got in the car. I searched around the neighborhood. I went to his meditation spot. I was freaking out at this point."
So Mona Lisa apparently filed a police report that afternoon, but she didn't tell Tyler's family that he was missing at that point. There seems to be a lot of animosity between Mona Lisa and the family, despite her making the post about how much she loved Janine. There's still a lot of back and forth. The family, as in Gregory and Janine, have been very vocal on social media. They've made a lot of posts about what happened. This is one that Janine wrote at the time. She said, "It pains me to be writing this. I cannot sleep. Outdone is my words for now. My son Tyler has not been seen for more than 24 hours. My eldest son texted me super early this morning with a copy of the text he received from Tyler's wife, Mona Lisa, saying that she hasn't seen him since September 4. This is definitely out of character for my son to be out of any form of communication." So then Gregory has also made a post about not being told that Tyler was missing. He said, "Why wasn't Tyler's family reached out to that night? No calls to his brother, his mother, his stepmom, his dad or his sister, no aunt, uncle or even cousin knew until I was notified the entire day after. It literally took for me to tell everyone on our side of the family what happened. Why didn't Mona reach out to any of Tyler's family or even friends to ask around to see if someone may have seen something on the day? It's very odd." And then he goes on to say, "Also, she told me when I pointed out," because there is camera footage, which we'll get into, and he addresses it here, but he says, "I pointed out that camera footage caught him walking by someone's house at 7:15 when she said he originally left at 7:45. She quickly changed and said that he must have left the house and came back and went back out. Then she told me he originally wanted to go with her to drop the kids off at school, but she said, 'No, it's okay. You can stay home and go for your daily walk.'" So that kind of is against what she said about how he goes multiple times. Daily kind of indicates one per day, but
in my eyes, that's not two separate walks. Like, if you're walking, you come home, you help put the kids in the car, and then you go walking again. That's like one big walk to me.
Yeah. So he's made a whole bunch of posts, Greg has. He says, "I can't see a woman or a wife waiting the entire day to let someone know that a husband has not returned since 7:45 this morning. Why was her mum the only person she reached out to? I can see a woman being way more worried about their husband as little as 2 or 3 or maybe 4 or 5 hours passing and not hearing from them or seeing that they returned home on their so-called daily walk. How could a married woman go to bed that night without notifying multiple people, especially family members, that her husband hasn't returned home?" So yeah, basically there's a lot of posts along these lines that they think it's sus that she didn't tell them for a whole day that he was missing.
It definitely is, but we also don't know all their relationships or what Tyler has said about his family. Like, he just got into a fight with his mom. But I also get what they're saying is, like, wouldn't she want to call them to be like, "Oh, have you heard from him?" Mm. Or, "I don't know where he is." But then also maybe there's a reason why she isn't calling them.
Yeah.
Maybe just, like, privacy. Maybe he was like, "I'm sick of my family being in my business." Didn't want to get them all riled up. So, I mean, I get points from both sides, I guess.
So Sam Clemens from the Sioux Falls Police Department has confirmed that Mona Lisa did make the report on that day. He said, "We were called in the afternoon, maybe around 4:30. He had left home that morning around 7:45. He went on to say there wasn't any indication that there's anything wrong or any problems. He just left. He was wearing a white t-shirt and black shorts. In addition to not having his phone, Tyler also did not have his wallet or keys. He left all that stuff behind. So as we mentioned, there is some footage of Tyler on that day. Sam Clemens said, we were able to find security footage both in the neighborhood and then a nearby business that shows him walking. It's not like he was being forced or compelled. He was just walking on his own. So there is footage of it. Essentially, there's nothing really special about the footage. It's just a man walking on the sidewalk. Some people have said he looks quite dejected in the footage. I don't know.
I think he's walking like weird. Like,
yeah.
I don't know how he normally walks, but as just seeing someone walking looks kind of, just something looks off. Like there's not
maybe
a lot
posture
of
posture or something. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. Like there's not a lot of arm movement really. He seems very stiff, very slow pace, almost. Yeah. Not like zombie-like, but just seems off a little.
Sam Clemens said the officers checked the area. They were basically looking for different places where he could go or potentially go. Our goal is just to find him and make sure he's okay. So as we mentioned, Mona Lisa did call Tyler's family the following day on September 5. She called Gregory. Gregory then called Janine, and I guess they let the rest of the family know. Around 2 weeks after Tyler vanished, Mona Lisa made this post on Facebook. I won't read it all because it's quite long, but there are some interesting pieces that I'll pull out from it. It says, thank you for all the tremendous support during this incredibly difficult time. The rumors and false narratives circulating have been deeply hurtful and are diverting attention from the crucial goal of finding my husband, Tyler. So there was a GoFundMe that was created. This is just deviating from her statement for a second, just to give some context. There was a GoFundMe that was created. Apparently it wasn't created by her and it was shut down very quickly. She said, I wanted to clarify the GoFundMe that appeared shortly after Tyler went missing was not created by me. It was started by someone who had participated in the initial search. As soon as I became aware of it, I had it taken down and ensured that all donations were refunded. Also, one thing that happened after Tyler went missing is that she rehomed their dog. She says, as for our dog, Tyler and I had previously decided to rehome her. Given the circumstances, I felt it was best to follow through with that decision as I am currently unable to provide her with the care she deserves. And that she also goes on to say they've hired a private investigator and that she's stepping away from social media to protect her mental and emotional well-being. She says, my sole focus is on finding Tyler and bringing him home safely. So I feel like she made that statement because she was getting a lot of criticism online that maybe she had been involved in Tyler's disappearance and was doing it for financial gain, hence the GoFundMe. So she's basically saying, I had nothing to do with that. People are questioning why she gave away the dog at such a time, and she is saying that basically it was already in the works and she just followed through with their plan. But it was an interesting statement, I believed.
A big case for like online sleuths and online criticism.
Yeah, definitely. And especially because they are such big online presences, and Mona Lisa has this interesting past where her first husband was killed by her. Obviously, we've said it was an accident.
While the month of September may be flying by for many of us, there is a family in Sioux Falls that feels each hour passing as a slow, heavy burden. Tyler Weathersby left for a walk on September 4th in Northwest Sioux Falls and has never returned. And the family is asking for your help.
This last 3 weeks is just a reminder that he's strong, and I really think he will show back up. I really do.
Today, I was welcomed into the family home and held the six-month-old baby of Tyler and his wife, Mona Lisa.
The reality of it is my husband went on a walk Wednesday morning, and he never came back home.
As the story of Tyler's disappearance may grab our interest or even our curiosity, for Mona Lisa and her three children, the gravity of this being a missing person case is a constant. She tells me of mounting stress that Tyler was enduring and believes he is still alive, and wherever he is, he may be needing help.
Feel like he's lost. Wherever he is, I just hope he knows that he is so, so loved. And so many people miss him and just want to know that he's safe.
Mona Lisa describes her young child talking to her about it recently.
He came up to me and he hugged me. He looked me in the eye and he's like, Mom, we're going to find Dad. And I could feel it so deep. Just, wow. it felt like that was God coming through him. And he just, after he said that, he gave me the biggest hug. And then he looked at me, smiled, and went to his room and went to sleep.
Mona Lisa is asking for anyone that had interaction with Tyler, especially on September 4th, to come forward. She's aware of two people that talked to him that have not yet come forward. That was about 8 o'clock in the morning near the intersection of Marion Road and Madison.
He was talking to a car, and he was talking to someone on a bicycle. And if you are those people, like, please, can you come forward to see what he was saying to you? It was around like 8 a.m. And even if they're high schoolers, just tell your parents or something to see what he said.
You can remain anonymous with your tips or coming forward by going through Crime Stoppers.
It's been really hard. A lot of emotions, confusion. Really sad and really angry right now. I just want him to come home so we can move forward with our life.
So obviously they searched for Tyler. In October, the Sioux Falls Police Department Lieutenant Aaron Nyberg spoke to News Nation. He said, "We're coordinating drone searches in some of the areas where he was last seen, either by on camera or someone has reported it to us." Mona Lisa also spoke to News Nation at that time. She said, "It's been extremely difficult, a lot of ups and downs, a lot of breakdowns, trying to hold it together for our children. This is out of character for him." Gregory also spoke to News Nation and he said, "The public has been amazing. They've sent me a lot of different proof, a lot of behind the scenes things. They've been supporting the search groups, handing out flyers, sending me video footage that they may have found of Tyler, different screenshots and different documentation that may hopefully lead to finding Tyler soon." So Tyler's birthday was in early October, around a month after he went missing. Mona Lisa made a post despite being off social media. She got back on to make a post. She said, "Happy birthday, babe. It's no secret that this season in our life is unbearably faced with the unknowns of where you could be. I believe in the power of prayer and believe you will come home. We love you, miss you, and cannot wait to see you. I love you. We love you, Tyler Blake." And then she goes on just a little bit more. She says, "His heart is soft and pure and would do anything for the people he truly loves. We miss you more than anything." So this is a case which we've had similar cases in the past too, where there's been a lot of online discussion and interference, a lot of groups about this, a lot of speculation, a lot of finger pointing from both sides. Online chatter has speculated that at the time that he vanished, Tyler was on a 40-day spiritual fast and that he may have been hallucinating at the time that he vanished. Some comments say that basically I don't know how long into the 40 days that he was, but he had only been drinking water and eating watermelon. So that may have contributed to his mindset, his state of mind, his physical health at the time as well. Someone wrote in a research group for him, it says, "Did Tyler have any meditation or fasting goals that may clue us into where his subconscious might direct him?" And one of his friends wrote, "Through conversations over the last few weeks, he has mentioned a few times how Jesus fasted and went into the woods for 40 days and 40 nights. He never mentioned to me that he was planning on doing this, but it may help."
It may help. It's like, I think it's pretty good indicator of something that could have happened, maybe.
Yeah. So after all this discussion online, the Sioux Falls Police Chief John Thumb asked the public to be respectful as they interacted and spoke about the case. He said, "This is a very real case. Tyler has friends, family, and loved ones who care about him deeply. For some of the public, this has become internet sleuthing or real crime drama or entertainment." It kind of reminds me of Cassidy Rainwater case, which we covered recently, where the police did get involved too and basically told people to stop the bullshit, stop the online ridiculousness, and that there are real people involved in these cases. So another friend this is the same friend who we just mentioned spoke about him doing the 40 days of fasting like Jesus. This friend posted another alleged timeline about the day before and what happened. He said, "On September 3rd at 2:53, Tyler texted a group chat saying, 'Day two, I'm grateful for this group.' And that was the last time I heard from him." He says that on Wednesday at 3:36, Mona Lisa texted him and she said that Tyler had been missing since 7:45 and he asked if he had seen Tyler. And basically then it goes on to that he texted another of Tyler's friends and asked if he had heard from Tyler. That person said Tyler texted him the word "help" around 9:15, the night before he went missing. So this was the time that he would have been fighting with his mother and dropping her to the airport. That person was in bed and didn't see the message until the next morning. He responded at 4 a.m. asking if Tyler was okay, knowing it wouldn't be appropriate to call, but he didn't hear back from him, and he forgot about it till the other friend reached out to see if he had heard from Tyler.
That seems like something you wouldn't forget about. Like, yeah. What do you mean?
If someone wrote
your friend texted help in the middle of the night.
Absolutely.
You just forget? Crazy.
So Greg, the brother, has also spoken about the online interference in the case. He said, "You got people hiding behind computer screens. They think they know everything. People are so quick to judge and point fingers." So Greg has set up his own GoFundMe. It has raised around $10,000, and he has received some criticism for that and about what he was using the money for. He said he set up the fund to hire a private investigator, and after he did so, people turned around and questioned how the funds were being used. He said, "I'm past being hurt. I'm angry." A company called Legal Eye Investigations told Dateline they have been retained by Tyler's family and are, quote, fully committed to pursuing every lead in the search for Tyler. According to the PI, they have distributed posters, conducted searches in the area, reviewed footage from the neighbours, and interviewed multiple people connected to the case. So Sam Clemens, who we mentioned earlier, he also spoke to Dateline in the last few weeks. He gave some more thoughts on the case. He said he was heading towards an interstate. That was the direction. Obviously, we don't know if he actually made it there or if he turned off and went a different route. They said the last footage they have of Tyler showed him about a mile from his neighborhood. The public information officer Clemens went on to say, "After that, we haven't had any luck finding where he went or which direction he went." He said, "We've used a drone a couple of times in different areas. We just haven't received anything that leads us to know that he's in or was in a particular area." He said they've extensively interviewed Tyler's immediate circle, but none of them have information about where Tyler could be. He also said that there is no indication of foul play in the case. He said there's nothing pointing to that. We've asked for tips or information from the public, and we've been able to follow up on those and essentially eliminate any of those that have come in. So we don't have any reason at this point to believe there was anything criminal that happened. So the family have recently spoken about their thoughts about what happened to Tyler. Greg, his brother, said, "I don't know if my brother is still out there. I just want to know if he's alive. I just want to know that my brother is okay." Janine, his mother, said, "I feel in my heart because I can feel my four children. I don't feel my son is here." She said that if he is out there, she'd like to make sure he gets the help he needs. She said trauma is serious and this has been traumatic from day one. He may need some help. Janine has also said that though she doesn't believe Tyler would have intentionally hurt himself. Mona Lisa also said that she doesn't believe Tyler would have hurt himself. She said, "I really think he's alive and he's just not in the right state of mind." She says, "We've done searches, we've done dogs, the community has come together, so many people." So as of the time of recording, which is 31st of October, Tyler is still missing. In terms of his appearance, he's described as having a slim build. He's 6 foot tall and 160 pounds. He had dark brown hair and his head was shaved at the time of his disappearance. Mona Lisa believes he would have hair and a beard by now. He has a tattoo of a crown with a halo above it on his right wrist. So in terms of possibilities about what may have happened in the case, I found a Reddit write-up and these are the theories that they put forward, and I do think some of them are viable theories, some of them less likely so. The first one is that this was all part of a plan or a hoax orchestrated by Tyler and his wife for GoFundMe or some other financial gain. The second one is that he disappeared on purpose, doesn't want to be found. The second is he disappeared with an intent to self-harm. Fourth one is murder harmed by friends, family, or a stranger. And they didn't include one that which I think is a possibility, that he disappeared and something has happened to him. He went for the walk, maybe not in the right mindset, and something has happened to him and he's probably passed away after being exposed to the elements, maybe some type of misadventure or accident.
Yeah.
I feel like they are the main likelihoods. I don't really know what to think in this case. Someone said in the comments recently that they like when I give a percentage breakdown of my thoughts on the theories. I feel like it's probably 60% he was having a mental health crisis and something happened to him as a result of that. I don't think he's still out there. I feel like he is probably deceased at this point. So I would say probably 60 a misadventure type situation. Maybe 30% he disappeared with the intent to self-harm, and then 10% probably a mix of hoax and he has been harmed by someone.
Yeah. I don't think anything like foul play, at least within the family, happened. Like, I don't think Mona Lisa actually did anything to him. My guess would also be, it seems like he was going through some sort of mental health crisis. And if he really was fasting like that, I'd imagine that can't be great for your brain or nervous system either. And said he wasn't sleeping that night. Just seems like he was going through a lot, putting a lot of stress on his body. I do think he was walking rather strangely in the video. Like, not strange, but like kind of strange at the same time. Very like subdued. But yeah, I think he probably either maybe killed himself or just wandered off and passed away somehow. I just think there's a lot of noise with the case because it seems like his mom and his brother, they're saying a lot online, and then Mona Lisa saying stuff online. So it just seems like it's really turning very messy.
Yeah, I was just looking at the weather for around the time that he disappeared. Like, it's pretty mild. The day that he went missing, I think the high was around 85. The low is like mid-50s to early 60s. So, like, I don't think for the first part of his disappearance that the weather would have caused him to for something to happen. Obviously, as time goes on, it will be getting colder, but like the weather at the time he vanished was pretty mild. So I just feel like there was probably some type of accident or mental health break, and that has caused whatever happened to happen to him.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. So the last articles for Tyler were a week ago, as we mentioned, Dateline, News Nation covered his thing 2 weeks ago, his disappearance 2 weeks ago. There's still, you know, fairly current articles out there, but no real leads, it doesn't seem. Like, obviously, there might be an update, but then even when you think about cases like Tyler Davis, he's now been missing for, what, 4 or 5 years? Tyler Goodrich has been missing for a year. It just so happens that all their names are Tyler. But, yeah, maybe we will hear something soon. But then, I don't know, if he wandered off, you know, into a forest or something, it may take a while for there to be an update.
Yeah, and who knows how far like he could have gotten, really.
Yeah, and especially if they said he went for multiple walks per day, it sounds like he was used to walking long distances. We know that he was at least a mile from his neighborhood the last time that he was last seen. You know, it just is such a large area to try and pinpoint where to even start searching.
Yeah, so we will see what happens with this case. We'll keep an eye out for updates, and if anything happens, we'll post them on Instagram or talk about it in another episode. But would like to hear what you guys think about this one, or if you've heard anything else about it. So everything will be on the blog at truecrimesocietyblog.com. Like I said, make sure you're following us on Instagram at True Crime Society. If you want to follow our personal accounts, mine's Steph_Olivia. See what we're up to. And make sure you check us out on Patreon, because we do weekly bonus episodes. We also do all the episodes ad-free, and we release this episode a day earlier on Patreon. We also have like group chats about the Delphi trial and things like that. We'll do more chats like that in the future, I'm sure, for other trials or big cases. So that's fun to participate in. Check us out there on Patreon. And like we said, Spotify comments, leave us some nice ones, some good ones, some funny ones. And share the podcast on your Instagram stories with a friend, with whoever. Big help to us. And that's it. Thank you guys for listening. Stay safe out there. Peace out.
See ya.